This is the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In today's programme, helping families keep more of the cash being sent to them by working relatives overseas would boost sustainable development, a UN migration conference hears. And we'll report from Iraq, where UN Messenger of Peace Malala has been visiting girls displaced by the brutal battle for Mosul. But first, a bulletin of news from Jocelyn Sambira.
The acting head of the UN mission in Afghanistan, UNAMA, said she's personally outraged by all the attacks against civilians. Pernil Kardel made the remarks following a deadly attack in the capital, Kabul, which killed 20 people and injured 40 others. A suicide attacker detonated a car packed with explosives against a bus carrying civil servants in Kabul's Guyali Dawakan area. The blast took place amid commemorations of the 2016 Demazang Square attack, in which dozens of civilian demonstrators from the Shia Hazara minority were killed, UNAMA said on Monday. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attack, the mission confirmed. UNAMA acting chief Pernil Kardel denounced what she called an egregious and cowardly attack in a busy civilian populated area. Ms. Kardel, who's also the UN Secretary General's deputy special representative for Afghanistan, urged the parties to seek a peaceful way to resolve their differences. Attacks deliberately targeting civilians and the intentional killing of civilians are considered war crimes by the UN. Suicide and complex attacks have so far been the leading cause of civilian casualties perpetrated by anti-government elements in 2017, according to a recent UNAMA report on the protection of civilians in armed conflict. Worsening conditions for minorities in Myanmar have left communities terrified amid reports that people have been used as human shields by armed forces, a UN rights expert has said. Yang Yi Li, who's the UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar, made her comments at the end of her latest visit to the country, her third under the government of Nobel Peace Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi. Daniel Johnson has more.
Before her latest visit to Myanmar, Special Rapporteur Yang Yi Li last went to the country in January to assess human rights developments. In that time, things have hardly improved, she said, for minority Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine State who are terrified by the violence around them. Today, around 120,000 people from Rakhine State still live in camps, 5 years after fleeing their homes following clashes with Myanmar nationals. Ms. Li added that she continued to receive allegations of violence against the Rohingya by the security forces and also Myanmar nationals, while reports have surfaced of Rohingya being attacked by hardliners from their own community after applying for citizenship. Serious human rights concerns remain elsewhere in the country too. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Australia is being urged by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, to end the harmful practice of offshore processing. Refugees arriving by sea without a valid visa are denied access to asylum in Australia and are often detained in neighboring islands like Papua New Guinea and Nauru. 4 years on, more than 2,000 people have been languishing in what the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, describes as unacceptable circumstances. UNHCR has offered to help with the relocation of refugees to the United States following a bilateral agreement between Australia and the U.S. However, the agency said it agreed to do so on the clear understanding that refugees with close family ties in Australia would be allowed to settle there. A decision to refuse even those refugees was recently announced by the Australian government. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
Allowing families to receive cash from migrants working overseas access to reliable financial services is a low-hanging fruit which would boost sustainable development. That's the view of Louise Arbour, the UN Special Representative for International Migration. She was speaking at the fourth informal thematic session on the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly and Regular Migration, taking place at UN headquarters on Monday and Tuesday. Ms. Arbour is Secretary General of the Intergovernmental Conference, which is holding six sessions on migration in order to get a better understanding of the issues. Focusing on the contribution of migrants to the whole 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda, Ms. Arbour said that the $429 billion sent home by migrants last year was triple the global figure for official development assistance. That money was lifting millions out of poverty, said the Special Representative, but fees for transferring the cash were still around 7% or 4% higher than the figure outlined in Sustainable Development Goals. She said too many people lacked access to reliable financial institutions.
About one-third of all working-age people on this planet have no access to financial services delivered by regulated financial institutions. So boosting the financial inclusion for remittance receivers is a low-hanging fruit. And the high transaction costs associated with remittances and low levels of financial inclusion, all this hinders leveraging remittances for development.
Ms. Arbour said that cash being sent home was only part of the positive social and economic impact. Most migrants spent most of their earnings in their country of destination, she added.
Migrant workers, while they typically send home about 15% of their earnings as remittances, we must remember that the remaining 85% remains in countries of destination, thus promoting sustainable development there. Migrants also bring high rates of innovation to their new countries.
She said it was important also to realise that it wasn't just highly skilled migrants in areas such as information technology who are in demand. Low and medium skilled migrants were also needed in many countries to do jobs that the local labour force was no longer prepared to fill. She added that the socio-economic benefits of migration were also made more powerful and effective when gender rights were fully respected.
These positive impacts of migrants to development in areas of destinations are maximized when women's labor and human rights are respected and when restrictive and discriminatory social norms or laws that hinder the contribution of migrant women to the economies and to the societies in which they live are removed.
Ms. Arbour said that positive government policies offering protection to migrants in the long term and fully respecting their fundamental human rights also help the process of sustainable development at home and abroad. The moderator of the opening panel at the conference, Egyptian Assistant Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hesham Bada, said the UN and partners needed to actively engage the world's youth in order to help curb the deadly trafficking routes across the Mediterranean and elsewhere.
Our efforts will not bear the desired fruits if not accompanied with a wide array of socio-economic projects that can channel the ambitions and goals of our young generations away from the deadly journey of irregular migration.
Nobel laureate and UN Messenger of Peace Malala Yousafzai is urging world leaders to support the right of every child to go to school. Malala made the call while visiting a camp for Iraqis displaced by the battle to free the northern city of Mosul, which had been under the control of the terrorist group ISIL or Daesh since 2014. Deanne Penn reports.
The visit to the Hassan Sham U3 camp marked the latest stop on Malala's girl power trip, which began in April. She's vowed to spend time with girls in North America, South America, the Middle East, Europe, and Africa before heading off to university later this year. At the camp, Malala met girls in a tent school and heard their stories of struggle and resilience.
So I met amazing girls, especially Anwa, who is a brave young girl, 13 years old, and she has courage, she's getting her education, and I think she's going to be the change maker for her community. I think this is young girls like these that I want to encourage and inspire.
The conflict in Mosul forced Anwar to miss 3 years of schooling. Overall, around 350,000 displaced children in Iraq are not enrolled in school, according to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. That's almost half of all children there who are of school age. Anwar hopes to follow Malala's example and be an advocate for girls' education.
I saw her on TV. She inspired me a lot and she boosted my confidence. She is my role model and she represents the path that we would all like to take.
Malala turned 20 this month, but she's long been a campaigner for girls' education. She first became an activist while a schoolgirl in her native Pakistan and survived an assassination attempt by the Taliban when she was just 15.
So I would say to world leaders and all the international community that we need to invest in education. This is something that cannot be ignored. This determines the future of many children, and especially for regions like Iraq and Syria, which have gone through conflict. Education is the only way through which these countries can go forward and achieve progress.
Malala also delivered a message to children everywhere.
To all girls and boys out there, I would say that believe in yourself, follow your dreams. You are the change makers and you can really change your community.
Nobel Peace Prize winner and UN Messenger of Peace Malala Yousafzai speaking at a camp for displaced people in Iraq. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
You've been listening to today's News and Features program from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. Thanks for listening.